It's Monday morning. My name is Keith Brownhill. Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio. On today's edition, Jessica Thomas talks with two fathers whose children have been put in foster care despite their efforts to provide for them. In the second half of the show, we open the phone lines for your stories and information to help facing custody battles with the state. Have your pencils and paper ready for our calendar of events and stick around for the 420 drug war news after the show.
Good morning, and you are tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And you're listening to The Jaws of Justice. I'm Jessica Thomas. With me in the studio this morning, Richie Maxson and Anthony Tanner. These are both fathers who are involved with the state right now with issues around their children. And they decided to come in to talk with us this morning because the issue that we need to open the dialogues with how the states do business. Anthony is in Kansas, and Richie, you are in Missouri. So they're both very similar, but just slight differences with the way each state does business. However, each one of them seems to be, well, perhaps maybe not doing things the correct way. Let's talk real briefly, Richie, about what's going on with you. Your ex-wife or your significant other, and you have two children with her. I mean, they're not your biological children, but your stepchildren, and they've been with you a really long time.
Since birth.
Since birth, and you're proud to call them your own.
You're
the daddy.
Yes. She had some incidents where the children were taken away from her. And basically, she wanted me to take care of them while she took care of her problems and issues. And I was awarded custody. They started asking a whole bunch of, I'm talking about the state, started asking a bunch of personal questions. And I really didn't feel comfortable answering all of them. So they eventually wound up, were taken back away from me.
They had asked you, I know when they do this this process of us getting our children or the official custody during this whole process. Anthony, can you hear him?
No.
You can't hear. Okay. Well, you might just take your headphones off just for a minute, and then we'll get you set up with that, but you can hear me there. So, Anthony, you had a similar instance where there were charges against your wife or that she got involved in this. Can you tell us really briefly what led to it?
Actually, not my wife, my children's mother. My children were removed from the home 2013 on, like, I want to say January the 28th or 29th of last year, rather. And they were found to be children in need of care. And, I mean, I did everything that I had to do on my part, getting ICPCs and background checks and all kind of different things to be able to get my kids in. I mean, I opened up my whole life to these people. I told them everything about me. I didn't leave a stone unturned. But they kept on trying to attack my character and make it like I wasn't a fit father when I have a five-year-old son that lives with me. He was four at the time, and he's perfectly fine. Very intelligent kid, and it's just one of those things to where I don't know whether who has the final say-so in things a lot of the times, but it's just been put looking at me and their mom's relationship from 10 years ago, trying to say that I wouldn't be able to take care of my kids.
Right, yeah. So this is a process, or home study is what they call it. The home study where they determine all these factors. Are you a fit parent? And neither one of you are felons and you're upstanding citizens and the kids are comfortable at your home.
Absolutely not. I'm not a felon. Haven't broken any laws or anything. They were brutally yanked from my residence whenever, just because I didn't want to be with or do exactly what they said. And I kind of feel like I like to keep a private life. And if I don't keep myself private, you know, then they will have the right to yank them away from me. I thought it was crazy.
Right. They, you know, we get to like a specific issue, and I don't know like how much mm-hmm. you really want to get, you know, the details. Well, when they ask you, they're saying they're secure the home, and generally they're looking at firearms, and mm-hmm. Are those firearms secure?
Yeah, absolutely. They want to know everything about your firearms, whether you have firearms, whether they're loaded. They wanted me to put my bows in locked containers, my arrows in locked containers, every knife that I own in a locked up. Everything needed to be locked up. And basically, I've raised these children to where they could learn to shoot, and they shoot bows and arrows, shoot guns, shoot everything. And
that's part of your life.
That's part of our
family
life.
Culture is hunting, providing for yourself. And
absolutely.
And just to clarify, your neighborhood is probably a little sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
Like my neighborhood.
Of course. Yeah.
Right. And so in this intake process where they're trying to determine, now they're going to ask you to, we'll get into this, just to briefly touch this issue, where they've asked you to secure your weapons and not have them accessible to you.
That's right.
Yourself or the children. And now I'm understanding that, that's what they're, and so you're coming up against this. Well, another issue as well, when they're talking about your Facebook posts
mm-hmm.
as well.
That's right.
Yes.
First Amendment.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. That, now, these children have, it's not like you just started something new. They've been part of your life, so this, your Facebook is your social media, and they've always been there.
Yes, they
and
have.
And then they have said to you that that's not acceptable, that you cannot.
They did say that.
Okay. So I've just tried to clarify. So, Richie, they then ask you to secure your weapons and not make Facebook posts or the fact that you already were there.
Anything that was on Facebook I needed to delete
mm-hmm.
with them.
Okay, and so you didn't. You didn't comply. You told your children as well you're not going to lie to the officials. So you're telling the kids, for one, you're not going to lie and say that, okay, yes, I'll do this and not do it.
I did not... do everything that I was supposed to be doing, but I feel more comfortable in my own home with a gun, with a loaded gun that's accessible if I need it, you know, and it's not against the law to have a loaded gun in your home, and I just feel that it's completely wrong for them to ask me if, you know, to be able to put everything away.
Especially seeing that you're trying to keep these children from having to be in foster care, but
absolutely.
You have plenty of children that are in the homes with their parents, step-parents, foster parents, that more than likely have loaded firearms.
Right. And in your instance, did they take the children from your home, or were you trying to get custody of them?
They were not taken from my home. They have never actually just stayed with me permanently. Mm-hmm. I have been going back and forth with their mother, trying to get her to let the kids come and stay with me for a long time. But we've had a lot of back and forth differences, I believe more than anything financially. And so that was one of the biggest things with me trying to get my kids, is that they tried to argue that my kids were not needed to be reintegrated with me, as in saying that I'm not familiar with my children are not familiar with me. But my wife actually purchased a home for my children in 2008, so they would be able to have their own room and everything else. So they've been had a house established for them, and so it was just one of those things where it was back and forth with them not feeling comfortable with me, or me not being able to take care of them properly, when that's never been the case. I just refuse to pay somebody for my children. I'm not going to just pay you like it's a check. You give them to me 6 months out of the year, I'll pay you for the whole year, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you don't want to give me my kids for 3 months out of the year, I can't even get them for the summer, then that means that I'll take care of them half of the time. I give you money for 6 months out of the year,
right.
You know. So
what their issue with you is, what are they saying, why you can't have the kids in your home? With Richie, it was really cut and dry. They're saying because you have firearms in your home, and then you're speaking about them in a way that you always have, that they're part of your family, and all of a sudden you want us to come in and delete them like they were never there.
Well, they didn't want me to actually delete anything from Facebook or anything. I was just told that I guess they had been monitoring my Facebook page and stuff, saying that I was godly one minute, then I was ungodly another minute, and I never post ungodly posts on my Facebook page, you know, so they try and criticize me and just knock me down about everything about me, just attacking my character. What was the question again? I just lost.
What we were saying was, well, the issue was with them allowing you to have
They really custody. Never been able to come up with a solid issue of me having my kids other than when we were first going through the reintegration process and stuff, some different things came out. We had to do family therapy, just all kind of different things for me to be able to go and visit my kids, which, in fact, I did every time I had a chance to go and visit them. I never missed a visit. But it came up in therapy or whatever, some different stuff about me knowing where some domestic violence shelters were and stuff, because their mom used to have me pick them up like right around the corner from the shelters all of the time. And so they was explaining to me that, hey, this is a safe house or something like that, and I'm like, yeah, I know. And they was asking me, well, how do I know? And I told them. And so they thought that I was lying to them, and that their mom was, that I was calling their mom a liar or whatever else, but that wasn't the case. You know, I'm not going to lie to my kids. I don't have a reason to lie to my kids about anything. So one of the biggest things that the, with that being said about the safe house, one of the biggest things that the system over in Kansas tries to say is that I was abusive to their mom. And I'm constantly telling them, well, look at my records. I don't have any convictions of abuse or anything like that. I've been accused of abuse quite a few times, but at the same time, I haven't been convicted of anything. I even told them, pull up my records from in New Orleans when the woman had to go to court and tell the people, hey, you know what? I used to call false calls on him all the time because he wanted to leave the house. You know, I had 13 domestic violence charges against me down there, and all of them got dismissed due to her. So it's just one of those things that I just look at. Like, I mean,
she was using the system to and use the children as pawns
and get housing and all kind of different stuff, because I had actually in 2004, I offered to give her a house that she could stay at instead of having to keep my kids in Rose Brooks or these different battered women's shelters, because my kids were being subjected to certain things, having to go through counseling and all kind of stuff, having to go over things over and over again that they had seen one time. Right. They only seen me be physical with their mom one time. I never denied being physical with the woman. And it's like, all right, well, this is 10 years ago. Right. This doesn't say anything about how I deal with my children, whether I'm going to be violent towards my children or anything like that.
Well, then a lot of things are said and done when there's personal arguments, and that they do tend to get blown out of control. But we're not trying to establish, you know. Well, really, what they're trying to establish is your character. They're saying they're assassinating your character in this instance. What we have are two men who are wanting their children, biological or not, to be with them, to provide them a stable, loving home, nurturing home, where the children don't just survive, they thrive.
Mm-hmm.
A place where the kids would be happy to be, a place where any other time, you would probably be hired as foster care for the system if you were to go about that route.
Yes.
So because your records, you could say, okay, I want to be a foster parent, and you could go fill out the records, and you could become a foster parent to other people's children based on your records.
That's right.
We're just establishing this. Both of you could be foster parents. Before all this happened, you could have gone and applied to be foster parents and become foster parents for anyone's kids.
I decided I did not want to be a foster parent whenever they told me that I was going to be losing my rights for my guns. That's my Second Amendment right.
First and Second Amendment rights, which are constitutional rights.
Absolutely.
Well, we just take this even just a step out further. During this process, and you got the kids involved, Anthony, your son committed suicide.
Well, he attempted,
but it was resuscitated.
Yeah, he was. They brought him back, and that was one of my biggest things. You know, I fought for my children's lives. I seen something bad happening, because evidently they was at a bad point in their lives. I read over the paperwork that I received when I was informed that my kids were taken from the home back in 2013, and this October, October of last year, they were being released back to their mom. And I'm telling these people, have you all really paid attention to what was being said, what these children were saying? Mm-hmm. And the system pretty much was just looking at it like, well, they might have been making up stories or something. And now I have to live with my son pretty much in a vegetative state. the only way that he can communicate with me is through his eyes. You know, he can barely move and different things. So it's really messed up that I was there and I was in a better position to take care of my kids, and they didn't put the kids with me in a household to where they weren't being abused, but put them back in a household to where they were accused of being abused. And then right after they got released, I mean, you know, they got sent back home to start a 1-year reintegration with their mom, it started being more signs of neglect and different things, emotional abuse and stuff, you know, and I wasn't informed about that. Like, hey, Mr. Tanner, we really need you to go ahead on and take your kids, because I was trying to save these kids' lives, trying to make sure that my kids had successful futures. They didn't become wards of the state. They didn't get in trouble for them doing something to somebody else and spend the rest of their lives in prison, or they wouldn't end up hurting themselves because they're emotionally distraught.
Let me remind our listeners that you're tuned to the Jaws of Justice on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, with me in the studio, and we're discussing with these two fathers who wish to have their children in their custody and to raise them in loving, nurturing homes. We're discussing, in the second half of this hour, we're going to take calls into the studio at 931-5534 to discuss this. But for now, we're just setting this situation so our listeners understand. These are two loving, caring, either step. Are children biological?
My children are both biological.
Right.
My son is in the hospital. He actually has my identical name. The only difference is the third instead of Junior.
Right. So we have two different situations where, Richie, you're a step-parent who's been with these children their entire life. These are your blood children. You're desiring to have and provide loving, stable homes for your children, and the state has decided this is their, for these reasons, you're not the ones. You're not going to get them. So where we are, Richie, your children now are in custody with their mother, their biological grandmother.
Grandmother, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So did you know that was going to happen?
Not at the time. Uh-huh. I was just wanting to give up my rights to be a foster parent, and you know, because I didn't care whether I got paid or not. I was just there for the kids.
Right. And this issue there, are they continue to work with you, or do they allow you to see the children? Or how did they work with
you? They told me several lies, basically. They said that they would get back a hold of me and let me know what kind of rights I had. And basically, they haven't done much at all for me.
Uh-huh. Did they recommend any outreach or a contact person or someone that could work with you, a lawyer?
Nope.
And so when you're going into the situation, did you have legal counsel about what's going on?
Actually, I do have a lawyer, but it's not, I guess in custody cases and stuff like that, my lawyer says it's a little bit different. It's not like it's a civil case. It's more of me fighting against the state, and with the state being able to take your kids at any time, it's a little bit different. It's different steps that you got to go through. It's not like my kids can just be released to me right now, and though they were supposed to be able to after I did an interstate compact. My kids could have been released to me. So I just get a lot of back and forth stuff. It is a court-appointed lawyer. I don't disregard the lawyer and stuff, but I feel like if I had a better, a more fighting attorney or something like that, that maybe the situation would have really been attacked and I would have my kids. Because even right now, my older son is in the hospital, and these people refuse to release my son to my care. Mm-hmm. Saying that I don't understand what's going on with him and different things, but I can explain to them everything that's going on with my son.
Well, quite honestly, no one really knows, because this is a court unto itself that has its own rules, where there is a judge that presides over the bench that makes the decisions. She's the judge, she's the jury, and in a lot of these instances, the prosecutor, whereas you're not charged with anything yet. This will go for the women, in this instance. Both of your former significant others now will be charged, even though they were not physically, arrested and charged in court. They now will not ever be able to work with children in health care. In your case, your wife worked in the health care areas, and we'll never be able to do that, because there's no charges brought. There was no jury. There was no trial. And I don't think anybody really knows what the rules are of family court. Now, who the heck Who tells you? Is there a lawyer in town? This is a, listeners, this is what we're asking you. We're looking and reaching out to the community for help here. We're trying to understand who do you contact? What are your rights when you get into this? And we spoke with a few lawyers to try to get some people in to maybe help us to understand what our rights are when you get involved in family court. What do you do? There isn't something in play to tell you what's going on. In the meantime, these kids are now separated from the parents that they know as father. And here we are, so going and having to have this discussion openly. What do we do? What are your rights? So how do you plan to proceed with this? Richie, are you going to stand back and say, I got to stand up for what our founding fathers want, you know, have set and died for us for, our constitutional rights?
They have died for us for all our rights. And, you know, I was getting into a big situation to where, do I give up my kids or do I stand as an American like we all are and not give up our rights? And I hope it's a very tough situation. I don't want it on anybody, but I a long time ago said that I was not going to give up any of my rights, no matter what.
And I'm totally opposite. I told them that I didn't care what it took. You know, I have plenty of firearms, but at the drop of a dime, I'll give them away because my children's safety are more important to me.
How are you protecting your children's safety if somebody comes in with the...
Man, my hands are good. I'm trained with my hands. So
if they have a gun, then...
Then I'll sit there and handle them at the door. If I hear you coming in my home,
and
I know
and
how
to... And you know what? We talk about those situations that could happen and everything, and which is why I actually got involved with Jaws of Justice was around family court. Myself... got involved with family court. And this situation did happen to me. There was a man in my house with a gun. This man did put his hands on my children. This man put his hands on me. He, at the point where he believed I was dead or incapacitated, tried to drag me into my home, at which point I took him out with the heels to the lower sensitive portion of the male anatomy.
All right.
And this is how... but not without breaking both my arms and laying my face open and everything else and traumatizing the kids. They were on the other side of the door after this man. So I'm saying I was put in that situation.
Yes.
There wasn't a gun available to me. I didn't have a gun. I don't know, you know, if he would have got the gun before him because he was in my house. Those situations we were looking at, you know, that could have been avoided. I could have shot him. But these kids are traumatized now. And these are the issues. I'm their biological grandparents, and they stay with me. And so what do we do from here, guys?
And I wasn't trying to say anything's wrong with you not wanting to give up your rights, because I know a lot of people that are the same way. If it wasn't for my children, I wouldn't have been willing
for that. And who stands up for our constitutional rights? Is there a constitution anymore?
That is, it's rough.
It's just being eroded by everything. But here we are with a court that's supposed to protect
us. We don't have rights.
As long as you're a law-abiding citizen, you should never even be asked about your guns. I have no right to ask a judge how many guns they have,
and they have
how many guns they have, where they're at, either are they loaded or whatever. Then he does me, or anybody has to ask me.
Yes.
You know, how many guns do I have? How much ammunition I have? You know, where's my bows? Where's my knives?
Well, that's the whole thing that I think that they try and do is build up some kind of way to keep you from getting your kids. I don't know whether or not they get paid a lot of money for having kids in their custody what.
And each kid has 5 to 7, you know, people, the guardian ad litem, the caseworker, the psychologist, then the therapist, and you start naming them. This each kid has 7 employees. You know, I mean. It gets kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Who is
handling what? So then your tax money is going to take care of kids that don't even need to be taken care of really at that point. When you have another parent, you know, that's not in the same home with the person that's accused of something, and so then you just costing the state money and stuff. Like it was, I feel like it was point blank negligence for them to send my children back home to their mother's house. You know, that was ridiculous. There was no way that I shouldn't have been able to get my kids and everything, because nothing was supposed to be communicated with my kids, but my kids were told that if they come stay with me, it'll be permanent. But my lawyer informed me that that was not accurate. that you have to still go through a civil suit. You have to go through custody battles and stuff. So everything these people were telling my kids were lies.
And they were saying
to build them to turn them against me or something.
Right, because you're telling them you'll never be able to be with your mother again.
Yeah, and that was never the plan.
And we all know, even if you have the world's worst mother, we're children we love unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to fight tooth and nail even for the biggest piece of dirt mom in the world. I mean, because this is what we do. We love our mother unconditionally.
And that's one thing that I understand. Mm-hmm. I would have never tried to keep my kids from being able to see their mom. Their mom would have had almost full access to my house at decent hours and stuff like that with my kids staying with me, because I know how it feels not to get to see your children for months on top of months. You spend money on top of money trying to get provide the right housing and everything else, trying to do all different stuff for these children, and then you don't get to see them. You know, so I never would have wanted to, in return, do that different stuff. You know, and it was crazy, because in the process of me talking to her about her finally going ahead on letting me have my kids, she said, it's time for them to be with a man. She said, I can't raise no men. And the next time we talked, the first thing she asked me was, are you going to want child support? I'm like, no, why would I want child support? She said, well, are you going to want to claim them on your taxes? I don't even file my own taxes.
Mm-hmm.
My wife files our taxes, and my son gets, all of his tax money. Any money that comes back off of taxes, it goes directly to my youngest son. So we never see any tax dollars for our kids. Mm-hmm. This is money that was taken out to take care of our kids already. It's not ours. This is to help provide them a better future, college money and different stuff.
Right.
So this is not a money thing for me.
You know, I need to let our listeners know. We're going to take a really short little break here. You're tuned to the Jaws of Justice on 90.1 FM, Kansas City's community radio station. With me in the studio, we have two fathers that are talking about custody issues with both Kansas and Missouri State. And we're going to open up the phone lines in just a moment to see what, if anything, can anybody help us out there? Do you know what your rights are? We're looking to start this dialogue in a system that's obviously broken, that obviously needs to be just like laws, the laws, the restructuring of sentencing reform and things. This family court needs to be restructured. We'll be back in just a moment here on KKFI, Kansas City's Community Radio.
And now the calendar for May 5th, 2014. The Criminal Justice Task Force meeting is this Monday, May 5th, from 6:45 to 8:45 p.m. at the Church of the Good Shepherd, 4947 Northeast Sholto Drive, Kansas City, Missouri. We will talk about Lobby Day and where we are with House Bill 2090 and Senate Bill 681. For more information, contact Robin Johnson at 816-468-7894 or email redrob2655@yahoo.com. The Kansas City Chapter of Missourians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty will meet Tuesday, May 6, 6:30 p.m. at the All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church at 4501 Walnut, Kansas City, Missouri. They will be joined by Jim Humphrey, a former Missouri prosecutor who will share why he opposes the death penalty. The Minority Caucus of IBEW Local 124, the Kansas City, Missouri chapter of the NAACP, and others will present the Third Skilled Trades Outreach Forum Saturday, May 10th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Southeast Community Center Gymnasium. The address is 4201 East 63rd Street, Kansas City, Missouri. There will be introductions, information, and applications for building trades, union apprenticeship programs, and more. Applications are open to men and women 18 years or older. Veterans are encouraged to participate in the Helmets to Hard Hats program. My name is Keith Brown-Eal, reminding you that these events and more can be found on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page, as well as the Jaws of Justice Radio page on the KKFI website, kkfi.org.
We're back in the studio here at KKFI 90.1, speaking with Richie Maxson and Anthony Tanner. Right, Anthony?
Yes.
And we're addressing these issues today about their kids in foster care, that we have two able-bodied, non-criminal offending parents that would like to have their kids home. We're going to open the phone lines. 816-931-5534 is the number to get in on the conversation and let us know what your opinions are. In Richie's case, Richie, you know, you're defending what our founding fathers put in place for us, our Constitution and our rights.
That's right.
Your First and Second Amendment rights. The one to first bear arms, the other for freedom of speech.
That's right.
What they're telling you is that your kids can't be in custody with you because you have firearms in the home that you say that you refuse to secure.
That's right. I don't have any problems with securing them and everything. If I feel that I need the right to, the children are aware of firearm safety. There's never been a problem with my case, and I understand the.
And your kids have actually gone through this gun safety with you. You hunt.
Absolutely.
And they're familiar with knives and weapons, and you guys go out and hunt, and you're a recreation family. And
yeah, we shoot and everything.
Mm-hmm. Your kids are how old?
11 and, well, 8.
And yours, your son is 12, isn't he? Was he?
I have a 13 and a 12-year-old.
13 and 12. Those are both really hard ages, especially. We have a caller calling in to us. Caller, hi, you're on the air. Could you tell us what your name is and where you're calling from?
My name is Tova Tanner.
Hi, Tova.
Hi.
Welcome to Jaws of Justice.
Thank you. I was just listening in, and I'm wondering, you know, as far as the support goes for both families, and I know, you know, they're supposed to support the parent that's actually going through the battle of, you know, foster care, getting their kids removed from the home. But one of the things that I do notice from the system is if they disagree with the other parent, typically it's the father, there's no support for that family because they're going through that battle as well. And I would like to know from the fathers, are they getting any support as far as therapy or anything like that from the state?
Absolutely not.
Well, I was told that I'd be able to get therapy. I have to do grieving counseling and
right.
stuff like that. I'm not allowed to do family therapy with my children, though. So the family therapy is not being put into place, but I'm expected to do a psychological background or whatever. It's a kind of thing, to evaluation, and also I have to do grieving counseling.
Right, and that's because of your son having attempted suicide, and
yes.
So they're telling you that he's in a vegetative state, that he's not going to function or recover, yeah. And they want you to get over it.
Yeah, well, and that's the whole thing. At this point,
is the listener still a caller? Are you still on with us?
Yes.
Okay, great.
At this point, they've been trying to explain all this different stuff to me, but my son he's came back from a lot of different stuff. They said my son would never be able to open his eyes again. He'd never be able to breathe on his own. He'd never be able to move his head or anything else like that. My son could do everything that these people said they wouldn't be able, he wouldn't be able to do, other than talk or get out of the bed.
So in your case, they're saying to you grief counseling, and in Richie's case, they've not offered anything, no support at all. They're just saying, you're bad, we're not going to talk with you.
They're saying that because I don't have any blood relation, then I don't have any rights or anything.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
They're not answering me. I mean, they're not offering me anything. They're saying that I need to go out and get this.
And that's so unfortunate. You know, the system is seems to be built for mothers and no support for fathers. In today's society, I think fathers are needed, and they should be heard just as much as the mother.
We agree. Thank you for calling, listener.
Thank you.
Yes, have a blessed day. We have another caller on the line.
Yes, good morning, Jessica. This is Keith. I'm calling from Midtown.
Hi, Keith. Thanks for calling in. What's up?
And I'd like to say good morning to the staff at KKFI and the guests.
Good morning.
What I wanted to say is that there is a constitutional provision that has been graved in stone for ever since this country was founded that prohibits the or requires the separation of church and state. and it is illegal to deny anyone any services offered by the state or the government based on religious reasons. It didn't matter whether you were a religious person or you had a belief in God or whether or not you had a belief in God. That's your right under the Constitution not to have religion or be penalized for not having religious beliefs. I think you have a clear and a very strong case against the people who denied you the right to be a guardian over your son, especially if this occurred before he committed the suicide. Now, I'm not an attorney or anything, but I've learned from experience that even when you have a lawyer, it's always helpful to try to keep yourself abreast of as much as possible about how the law is supposed to work, because a lot of times attorneys don't pick up on everything. That's something they should have picked up on.
Yes.
You know, but, you know, you have to, a lot of times your lawyer is just basically there to assist you, you know, but it's up to you to know as much as you can about the law.
You would think because it is engraved in stone, then we know about our constitutional rights, but here we are yet having to challenge them.
Well, this government on all levels never ceases to leave me shocked and appalled about the way that they handle things regarding the law. You know, you go into these courts and then you think you got a case that's cut and dry,
yeah.
And they come up with all these interpretations that they grab from outer space to apply in your case simply because they know you can win and they don't want you to be successful when you are suing the government or somebody who is in support of the government. And I think that's just tragic. Every time I hear this, it reminds me of a quote that I heard Kevin Costner say in a JFK movie. He said, "A true patriot must always be ready to defend his country against his own government." And that is so sad.
It is.
I mean, it happened before. And let's say history repeats itself if we don't learn from the past.
Well, I certainly wish both of your guests however much luck their need or whatever it's going to take to be successful in pursuing their cases.
Thank you.
You know, I recognize the state does have a legitimate interest in trying to protect children once they're placed into foster care or into a home with their own parents. But in this case, I just definitely think they went too far.
Well, I would definitely protect my children with my life.
As we all would.
Mm-hmm.
And have.
You know, I just choose to carry a big stick, and it's my right to be able to have a firearm in my own home.
Yeah.
I mean, and another thing, I don't think that freedom of speech should have been a consideration or whatever you have on Facebook. I mean, right. That is your right to freedom of speech. That should not have been something that's being considered.
Well, it wasn't something that he created. You know, it was there before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying you have a right under this government to say whatever you want without fear of being penalized.
Exactly. And my Facebook page is private. So if you gain access to my Facebook page, is through somebody else.
And
it's
so
not
fine.
Even through me. Because you can't see anything but my profile picture and stuff like that on my page. You can't see anything else.
Unless you're,
And the post that you send to other people.
It's well, you can't even see that.
Close friends and family.
Unless it's friends. Friends of friends can see my post, and that's it.
So they have a way to access our sites, which is, is that considered like warrantless spying if you set that privacy setting, or do they just consider, well, no, you just give up your rights to privacy when you're on Facebook?
It's Facebook stalking.
When I went to computer school, the first thing my instructor told us is that be careful what you put on that internet because there's somebody somewhere watching you at all times. And
or listening.
Thanks to the new laws that have come about, all of these websites are required to give information to the government whenever they want it. There's nothing on the internet that's private anymore.
No, definitely not. Well, thank you for calling in, Keith. I appreciate
it.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Very welcome.
Our phone number to join this discussion is 816-931-5534. Join us in this discussion where we're discussing the family courts, kids being taken, First, Second Amendment rights, well, even there, you know, we're attacking your religion. saying you're too godly and then not godly enough the next moment. What do they want? You to be more godly?
But this is the thing with me and my religion. This is what I keep on telling these people. I believe in God, so that's why I won't let go of my son.
And so do I.
I still see my son having emotions and stuff. My wife has just now told me that she was pregnant, and I told my son the other day. And my son cried for about an hour and a half after I tell him this. Mm-hmm. So for them to think that my son cannot communicate with me or understand what's going on, then that's a crock of baloney.
We have another caller coming in. Hi, caller. What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Sharon in Prairie Village.
Hi, Sharon. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. I've been fascinated with this because in about 1995, I became involved with particularly the Johnson County court system, but hearing from women largely all over Missouri and Kansas, or the Kansas Missouri area, about how they were losing custody of their children. And I would just like to suggest that this is big business for the county. They get to appoint guardian ad litems, and they tell you you have to pay them. It's about the money, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they're getting their money, whether they get federal grants or what, but the more children they put into the system, just like the more prisoners they put into the system, the more money they make. That's just kind of my two cents. The court systems need to be reformed. And as one of we formed a group called Citizens for Good Judges in about 1995, and one of our co-founders said, when you turn on the lights, the cockroaches run. Mm-hmm. And what we need to do is be sitting in these courtrooms. And I know they won't let you in these courtrooms where minor children are involved. And that's unfortunate. But we should become outraged, and we should be showing up in these courtrooms, and we should be watching them and letting them know we're watching, because it makes a big difference. That's all I have to say.
You know, Sharon, you're right, and maybe you signed you formed a group for Citizens for Better Judges or Great Judges or...
For Good Judges.
For Good Judges, yeah.
We just want good judges.
Right,
yeah.
And then why not? Maybe we need to form a citizen group that has a representative that can be present to represent the people in these family courtrooms. Maybe that's something that needs to be addressed. Somebody needs to be a witness.
Absolutely. Because behind closed doors, they just get to run ramshackle over people.
Not long ago, I was asked to be the president of an organization called I Am My Brother's Keeper. Hmm. It's a mentoring and outreach program, and I believe this is something that we're gonna pursue, is being able to build up a support team for males, because if I'm going to be my brother's keeper, I'm going to help him when he's going through the same things that I've been through and that I'm going through already. So I do think that that's something that we will be pursuing in the near future. I'm just going through so much right now with just trying to even deal with everything that I got to get a little bit of help here, even how to get that started.
Did you see what you started, Sharon?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got to become activists. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, dear.
Okay, bye-bye.
The number, if you'd like to join the conversation, 816-931-5534. And you're listening to The Jaws of Justice on KKFI. And we're talking about reforming this court, as it were, the structure that's in place in family court. I mean, there's a parent or a mother, even the other side, the person that's losing custody, their rights are very limited. They're tried, a judge, jury, it's all done by one person. There is no real formal charges, unless it's like a criminal action where the police are involved at that moment. When DFS, I'm not sure what they were, I was told they renamed. I spoke with someone at CASA yesterday and said that DFS or DCF doesn't exist. They call it something else now. Do you know what it is?
It was DFS whenever I was dealing with them.
Over in Kansas, it's a different name. I forget what the name was. But even with her saying that she thinks it's about the money, well, I mean, yeah, it's about them making the money. They really don't want to pay the money out, because my son's insurance ran out on April the 1st.
Uh-huh.
So it's costing them a ton of money for my son to be in the hospital. And his caseworker told me, she said, quite frankly, she said, we can't afford to keep him there. She said, we need to get him out of there. But they don't want to release him to me. They talking about sending my kid to Independence or sending my kid to Nebraska. But they say that it's an interstate thing that
because
they can't cross
special care.
But, hold on, but they're saying that he can't cross the state lines. That's why it was hard for me to get my children.
What?
Because they can't cross the state lines. But you would send my kid to somebody else's care in Nebraska.
Right.
Or in Independence, Missouri, which is the same city that I stay in.
Right.
So I don't understand that.
So are you okay, so you're living in Missouri, but the case is in Kansas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they're having difficulty talking across the line.
Yeah, but I don't understand. Where's the difficulty with being able to give this access to the parent, biological parent? My name is on the birth certificate.
Okay, yeah, this is...
Period. I mean, these are my children.
But
look
you're not.
At my kids, they look like me. These are my kids.
Right, and so they're saying... So everything checks out, but what they're saying for you is the reasoning being...
Well, now they said they need another ICPC. They need another background check and all these different things. Nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. The only thing I've ever had on my history was drinking and driving.
Right.
Well, I mean, and I'm guilty of that. So for them to say that, hey, I'm just this such of a saint and stuff, and I'm not an honest person, that's ridiculous. Because I don't mind saying that I had a problem.
The number's 816-931-5534 if you'd like to join the conversation. Richard, what do you see happening? Are we looking for some help? You trying to find an attorney, or what do we do from here?
Well, I went to court over it, and I spoke with the judge. And I was asked to be, she said that she didn't know anything about what was going on. And I basically asked what kind of rights I have. And she talked with the case managers that was in our case as we were not there. And they came back out and she said she'd get back a hold of me. Never did.
Mm-hmm. So how long have you been waiting now?
It's been almost 3 weeks now.
This kind of process moves very slowly, unless, of course, they're on your doorstep coming to take your kids.
Absolutely.
In which case they...
Oh, they're going to take them quick.
It's kind of like a kidnapping, because it's not just kind of like, it is kind of a kidnapping.
Just for legal sakes, we'll say. That's how I feel.
Kind of like.
When I talked to KVC and stuff, I told them, I said, I feel like my kids are being held hostage for a fee. Mm-hmm. Because I'm willing to take my children right now. You won't let them come to me. My kids done been to Topeka. They've been all the way like 3 hours down, like by Louisville, Kansas, something like that. I mean, it's they just
foster care.
They are steady sending my kids, shipping my kids around like cattle. To where my son ended up running away from the house. Well, not even running away from the house. He got put out of the house with one of these people. So I'm like, hold on now. How am I supposed to take this?
Now, which son? Is this the one that...
This is the same one that's going through everything right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Richie, did you adopt your children, or are you on the birth certificate?
No, I'm not on the birth certificate, and I did not adopt them.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess that would just be...
helped raise them.
They've lived with you their entire lives.
Their entire lives, yes. Mm-hmm. I was not the father of either one.
Mom just kind of went wild and...
She got into some difficulty times, mm-hmm. and she asked, they came up to her and said, who do you want them to go with? And she knew the way I raise them and everything, and they have a home, they have their bedrooms, and I'm a good father. I've raised two children before her children, and they are the most wonderful children you'd ever meet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, basically, they yanked them away from me after they yanked them away from who she wanted them to be with.
Okay, and so now they're up with their moms. I mean, their biological mother's grandmother.
Right.
And are you able to see them when you...
Yeah, well, I've seen them twice since then.
Okay, they're not telling that you can't have access. It's up to the grandma.
Basically, they can't stay the night with me at all because I have guns in my home.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy. But.
Right. And so they've gone back to school.
Yeah.
Are they starting to settle down a little?
It's actually costing the state a lot more money having them live with their grandmother because she has to drive them twice as far to their school every day. Mm-hmm. And they're paying extra money because she is a licensed foster caregiver when they wouldn't have to pay me for the foster parent. It's a couple, about $230 every month just to be a foster parent. parent, and I really didn't care to be a foster parent if I was going to lose my rights, like all foster parents have.
Right, to step into the situation. And this is where we thought by, the number, by the way, is 816-931-5534, if you'd like to join the discussion, where we decided, what we're kind of at is to open up the dialogue and get some ideas from our community members. What do we do? Where do we go from here? How do we reform this? Monday being a horrible day to try to get anybody in from the legal end in because their dockets are full. They're in there trying to help the people that they can. So hopefully we'll be able to get with somebody soon and continue this conversation further to try to open this dialogue in the community. Well, what do we do? What's the solution here? Sharon had said it was a great opportunity. It seems like a good opportunity to form a witness group that would be present on behalf of parents or anybody that's involved just to witness what's going on in that courtroom.
But the judge can always still say, hey, I need you to leave when they want them to leave.
That's very true.
That's what they did to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is going back a little bit, but I'm confused a whole lot, right? Because the hospitals, everybody wanted me to let my son go. They wanted me to stop taking him off the breathing machines. They wanted me to stop feeding him, all kind of different. That's the only thing I want to do is stop feeding my son. Because I told him, I said, if he's going to be able to fight, he needs a fighting chance. Mm-hmm. If you starve somebody, if I'm put somewhere and don't have food, I'm going to pass. Mm-hmm. And so it's crazy that they would want me to let my son go. Even they said, KVC and them, they said they're not advising me to let my son go, but they're telling me that, you know, he's not in a making it situation, right? Well, if y'all don't feel like the boy is there, why not give him to someone that cares? Why not give him to his dad? Why do I have to continue to fight for someone that y'all don't feel is there, that y'all don't want? Y'all don't nobody want him but me,
right,
and my family.
And so he's been taken off the respirator.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just low. He's been taken off the respirator. He's breathing on his own.
He's breathing on his own.
And he's fed intravenously or through the stomach, feeding tube?
Through the nose.
Uh-huh. And so now the state, having stressed this child to the point of just depression and suicide, is not there for us.
And, I mean, they want to let him go. They're like, hey, let's let him go then.
Let him die.
Just by
not feeding you? So is that what they're saying? To cut off his
feeding? Well, that's the last thing you can do. That's the last thing you can do to...
And they're wanting to stop feeding.
Well, his mom was pushing for that.
Well, that seems like a child abuse situation. If there's a live human needs feeding and you say, let's not feed him and he'll die, that seems like the ultimate child abuse.
Yeah, and my lawyer had to stand up for me in a meeting that we had about that, because he's like, well, that's like assisted, you know, that's assisting someone to
assisted
leave.
Suicide,
yeah,
which is not legal. You know, we've used up our time discussing this, and it's such a deep situation. There's a lot more to be touched on. I think we need to continue this conversation, and hopefully, listeners, we have started a dialogue amongst you and maybe some wheels turning, some way that you can help parents, or it's a great place to start. You know the number here. We can't take any more calls, but I'm saying 931-5534. If you have some idea or concept of how to help, you want to get in touch with us here at the station, I think we might have started something. I want to thank my guests, Richie Maxson and Anthony Tanner, for coming in and sharing. It's very brave of you to share your family's struggle right now, and I really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're tuned to the Jaws of Justice, 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Ready? One, two, three. What am I gonna do now? Am I gonna make it? Some way, somehow. Well, maybe I'm not supposed to know. Maybe I'm supposed to cry. If nobody ever knows,
okay. Cause I'm gonna make my world a better place. Gonna keep that smile on my face. Yeah, I'm gonna teach.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. To find a link to audio of today's show, our calendar of events, and more, check out Jaws of Justice Radio on Facebook. To contact us, send an email to jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. And to find out about future shows, check us out on KKFI's website, kkfi.org. My name is Jeff Humfeld. We thank our engineers, Joe Henderson and Mike Murphy, host of the Wednesday Morning Buzz. Please tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Tell Somebody with Tom Clammer on Thursday, and Between the Lines at 9 a.m., followed by Bioneers at 9:30 a.m. on Friday. Up next is Beautician's Blues with Luscious Lynn, and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Hogue. Stick around for Jazz and Blues in the afternoon and Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m. Then, round out your day with the spicy Latin sounds of Sabor Latino and Fiesta Musical. Today's outro theme music is Better Man from the Playing for Change Songs Around the World CD.
I'm gonna get back up. It'll be alright. It'll be okay. Well, I'm gonna make my world a better place. Go keep that smile on my face. Go teach myself how to understand. Go make myself a better man.
It's the 420 Drug War News.
Joyce Strickland, founder and CEO of Mothers Against Teen Violence. We're based in Dallas, and we like to say we're rethinking drug policy in Texas. We're playing a leading role in that effort. My motivation for being a part of the reform movement is my son, whom I lost at the age of 19, and that loss transformed my life, and it keeps me focused. It helps me to understand the importance of drug policy reform, and because I came to understand that he was not just a victim of teen violence, that it was there was something much bigger at play there. It was drug policy. It was prohibition violence that is the proper context for my experience, and so that keeps me up and motivated and determined to end the drug war.
Yeah, you see, too often the newspapers talk about drug-related violence, but it wasn't drugs killing anybody, was it?
Yeah, drugs don't kill anybody. Drugs don't spend any time in jail. You know, it's not a war on drugs; it's a war on people. And until we understand how to connect the violence in the street, the drug-related violence in the street, and understand that that is the cartels moving their distribution channels, and that children are susceptible. Some children are more susceptible to be co-opted into that work. But it's far more than misguided kids or violent kids or kids that don't value this, that, or the other. There's a lot more at play, and we really need to connect the turf wars that are happening in our communities, call them that, and connect that with the drug war and drug prohibition, because it's almost never done in our media.
Does the drug war protect the children?
Well, our children have told us every year for 30 years by way of the Monitoring the Future survey that they find marijuana is easier to purchase than cigarettes and alcohol. And, of course, the reason that is true is because drug dealers will sell to anybody. 40% of kids by the time they're in 12th grade have used marijuana. Is that protection? I don't think so.
Closing thoughts, and share your website with the listeners.
Our website is matvinc.org, and that stands for Mothers Against Teen Violence Incorporated.org. But when I come here and I see the work that's going on in the country, mostly outside Texas, but it gives me hope, and it helps me know that I'm on the right track, and I believe we will prevail. We will overcome.
This is Dean Becker, DrugTruth.net.